Always is a very long time. I will always love you, the song goes. Kennedy is remembered with an eternal flame. Some people receive a perpetual annuity. When will these things end? Well, never. That's what always means. So when the crowd in the gospel said to Jesus, "Sir, give us this bread always," were they asking for something unreasonable? After all, at that point, they didn't know that that bread would be Jesus. And they certainly didn't know that the bread that would be Jesus would be given in the form of something that was originally bread. But not only would Jesus give them the bread that they asked for, he would in fact give it to them always. And one of the ways that he does that is through this beautiful box that you see behind me, there against the wall. It's called a tabernacle. Now, the primary purpose of a tabernacle is to reserve Jesus in the Eucharist, which we sometimes call the Blessed Sacrament, so that he can be taken to those who are not able to come to Mass. That's most often the sick and the elderly. We have an incredible ministry to the sick here at the cathedral. And if you know someone who would love to be at Mass but is not able to, please let us know so that one of our ministers can take them communion from the tabernacle. So, of course, there's a close connection between Mass and the tabernacle. Because, to put it simply, without Mass, there'd be nothing to put in the tabernacle. However, the tabernacle is not meant to be a supply for Mass. What do I mean? What I mean is that when you come to Mass, the ideal situation is that you receive communion from hosts consecrated at this Mass. That makes sense, because this is the sacrifice you're a part of. This is your offering here. That means that ideally, we would not go to the tabernacle during Mass. Neither during communion, because there weren't enough, nor after communion, because there were too many. Now, admittedly, that can be hard to do at the cathedral. How do we know how many people are going to receive communion today? Our sacristans who set up for Mass are very good, but it can be challenging. And even with the right amount of hosts, with 8 or 9 different sections, there can easily be too many in one place and not enough in another. It challenges us to have patience. Now, if you do receive communion from the tabernacle, let's be clear, it is no less Jesus. It's still the fruit of the Mass, even if it's not ideal. So the tabernacle has a very practical purpose: to make sure that everyone receives communion, here or not here. But it also became clear very quickly, if not from the beginning, that the tabernacle did something else. It answered the request to give us this bread always. The church realized that this is not just a storage container back here. It's the place where Jesus resides. St. Jerome points out that before it was commonly called a tabernacle, it was called a pastophorion. Never used that word before, right? A pastophorion, which is a Greek word meaning a bridal chamber. Yeah, that's right. Where a bride receives her groom, and a groom receives his bride for the first time. A pastophorion. And Christ, the bridegroom who takes us as his bride, is here with us. Now, there's a particular way that we recognize that Jesus is here in the tabernacle. And we don't recognize anyone or anything else in this way. And that recognition is called a genuflection, where someone goes down, usually on one knee, until it touches the ground, and then comes back up. Now, if someone can't genuflect or can't fully genuflect because of their health, you're not doing anything wrong. Don't worry. But for those who can, this is how we recognize Jesus. And there are some practical implications here. One is that you don't need to genuflect if you go into the daily chapel, for example, because the Eucharist is not there. You shouldn't genuflect there. You don't need to genuflect in the Guadalupe chapel either. But in this church is another story, because Jesus is in the tabernacle. That's why when we enter and when we leave, we make a genuflection. But in a place like the cathedral, it can be easy to forget who you're genuflecting to. What do I mean by that? So it is beautiful, this church in which we sit in all different places. But it can be easy to forget who you're genuflecting to. So let's say, for example, let's say I'm coming into this section here. So I'm going to sit in this section here. And when I come in and I come up to my pew, what do I generally do? I make a genuflection. But who am I genuflecting to? The choir? No. No, my genuflection happens because Jesus is in the tabernacle. So I need to turn my head and my body and genuflect to the tabernacle before I enter my pew. And think about all the different places we can sit. You know, we sit in different sections and different parts. And if I come in all the way over here, naturally, I would genuflect before I go in my pew. But the reason I'm genuflecting is not because there's an altar or an ambo, but because of our Lord. And so it might feel awkward, but really, when I come in, I should turn to the tabernacle to genuflect and then enter my pew. And I know that you all have your set places where you sit, right? And so maybe I come into this section here, but wherever it is that I might be, I may sit in a different place, but the tabernacle doesn't move. So if I'm coming in all the way over here, the very first pew, I may not even see the tabernacle. Can I make sure that I address the person who is here facing the tabernacle before I enter my pew And even if I sit in the middle sections here, it seems most obvious. But sometimes if I'm so used to genuflecting because I've done it for so many years, am I even thinking about who or why I'm genuflecting? A groom never wants to leave his bride. And our Lord Jesus, of course, wants to be inside of us in communion. But even apart from communion, he wants to be with us. And he is in the tabernacle. That's his response to that request. Sir, give us this bread always.